Hello and welcome to the T to the Thru to the Double E podcast. Coming up on this week's show to the O to the W. God, this is wearing thin already. 3D TV, it's rather good apparently, so says the 3D industry. Meanwhile, T3's been playing with the extra dimensional 3DS at a special Nintendo lock-in. And Panny's been making pop-out headlines with its 3D camcorder. We've had a play with that and all. Coming up, though, in 2D, have you got your iPhone 4 bumper? Probably not. Apple's quoting delivery of up to eight weeks. And 101 gadgets you can't live without. Seriously, how are you even breathing right now? All that and significantly less. So let me introduce my co-host, no Chris Smith. We dispatched him to America last night. So instead, it's the unstoppable Luke Peters, another Luke Johnson, and the unflappable man of men. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell, everybody.
Hello.
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 Luke and Luke. Oh. Easy to remember.
I've got Luke to the left of me, Luke to the right of me.
Cool hand.
Stuck in the middle with you.
There we are.
Pretty good. It's like the two Lukes, like the two Ronnies.
Yes.
So one, he dressed up as beef eaters actually, and singing
one,
an amazing
one
song.
Is quite short and one is quite tall.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Both wear glasses.
Yeah.
Apart from the one who doesn't.
Apart from the one who doesn't, yeah. Well.
And I look like Ronnie Corbett.
Yeah, and they are sat in sort of easy chairs at the moment as well.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
There we are.
Can you say a word that means breasts? In a kind of double entendre, sort of tongue-in-cheek, 70s cheeky kind of way.
Puppies?
Danglers?
That'll
like
do.
That.
Excellent.
Johnsons?
Spectacles.
We have all the makings of a hit comedy show. Anyway.
Onwards.
It is rant time. And I know it's a good one, because I saw a certain Ofcom report hurled across your desk.
Yes. Well, I probably did this rant 2 years ago because if you work in journalism long enough, stories come around again and again. If you if you pick up the newspapers, Sunday supplements every year around summertime, there'll be every single one will have an article about asparagus and how lovely asparagus is, as if these people have just discovered asparagus for the first time. And it's like, anyway. So every couple of years, Ofcom, you can set your watch by it, puts out a report saying broadband speed is not as fast as it should be. It really is appalling. Somebody ought to do something about it. Mm-hmm. Then absolutely nothing happens. And 2 years later, they put out another report saying exactly the same thing.
Well, it's,
and
it's,
nothing ever. But it just winds me up every time because firstly, like people who sell broadband that doesn't run at a speed that's usable shouldn't be allowed to do so and should have to pay back what you've paid them. And probably pay damage as well. No, because it's so annoying not having broadband. That's like having your electricity cut off. You know, if you're really in a hurry to download some sort of important document, maybe some kind of adult entertainment, or if you're trying to upload work to a work server, as I frequently am, or it's very, very annoying. But the Ofcom thing is also kind of annoying because they ignore the fact that although speeds may not be what people, what companies are selling it as, they may still be perfectly adequate, and they tar everybody with the same brush. Because half speed, like half of 20 megabits per second, that's still plenty fast for most people.
But they're always advertised as up to X, and it's always a kind of a theoretical speed. And if you're running on telephone lines, then what do you expect? They cannot tell you exactly what speed you're going to get.
So yeah, well, that's what's annoying about it, because then, you know, because people are less expert about these matters than ourselves. They go, well, you're not getting what you pay for. It's an outrage. All these people should be shot. And it's like, well, no, not necessarily. They shouldn't necessarily be shot. Perhaps
or, of course, you could just get cable, like I do.
If you're in a cable area that can deliver fiber,
that's well expensive, though. Like the Virgin service is
well
superb,
expensive, man.
You do pay for it. But no, it's just the sheer wearying inevitability year after year of, or every 2 years of Ofcom printing this report. Either do something about it. It's time to shit or get off the pot, Ofcom. That's what I'm saying. Either you're going to do something about this or just shut up.
Right. Other Luke, are you a cable man or an ADSL man? I don't have broadband. Oh, God. Who have we brought in here?
I've got broadband now, but I'm originally from the countryside, so broadband there is absolutely
satellite.
Oh, that's a regular thing that we bring up
here.
You'll
be popular then with our tweeter, whose name I forget.
There's a really good website.
The lad who always tweets in to say.
Yeah, to say. He gets annoyed with you whenever you,
don't be rude about
whenever
the
you mention the countryside.
Well, it's not so much that I'm rude about the countryside, so I don't really care if you can get high-speed broadband there or not.
So has broadband reached your village now, or have you just left the village?
It's just about reached there.
was there a parade and sort of ticker tape?
It's crawling in slowly.
Did the locals kind of seize the broadband, take it to a barn, and beat it to death with rakes?
There's only about
with 56k modems.
Because it's clearly witchcraft to be able to download things quickly.
There's only about four of us there, so there wouldn't be much of a beating.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
They just stick you on a horse and bang some pots and throw through the... There's a really good website called samknows.co.uk or samknows.com. If you type in your postcode and put in your phone number, it will tell you anything you need to know about your broadband, how far you are from the local exchange, what speeds you expect to get, all the broadband providers and cable providers in your area, and what you can get. It's very good.
That was actually quite well informed and practical information.
Has that ever happened?
I think
before?
That's a first for one of Duncan's rants, but there we are.
Yeah, let's try and keep away from that in future. Who's this Sam then? Sam knows, as in Sam is the man who knows.
I presume the website was developed by a guy called Sam.
A gentleman called Sam.
I should imagine so.
Well, good work, anyway, Sam.
On to our top story, and not for the first time, it's things 3D. Incidentally, if I don't know if it's been picked up, but if there's a strange banging noise in the background, there are workmen next door, which is not great for a studio, but there we go. There's nothing we can do about it.
Installing the broadband.
Yes. Anyway, Sky has announced its 3D channel is just 2 short months from launch. Industry experts have been sharing their views with T3. We were let loose on a 3D film set, which is foolish, and got the verdict straight from the horse's rather unnervingly long and pointy mouth.
thrust yes, into your face.
Quite unnecessarily so.
And what did the people making the 3D film think about the prospects
they thought
for 3D?
3D was great.
Actually, that's remarkable.
They were incredibly honest. This was the Parallel Lines 3D shoot, which, as I'm sure you know, is a sequel to the Ridley Scott Associates film, which went down rather well at Cannes this year.
They've been developing this.
Yeah, I've been speaking about nothing else.
Yeah, it's 5 short films, all with the same 6 lines of dialogue, which is pretty lazy, really.
What are the 6 lines of dialogue?
I don't know. They better be good though, because if they're rubbish, then that's ruined everything, hasn't it?
Hello. Maybe they're really random. Have you got the pigs yet, Mr. Evans?
They all revolve around a unicorn.
Do they? What, really?
Really?
Oh, they really do.
Yep.
He loves his unicorns, Ridley Scott.
It's a bit odd, actually.
There's one in Blade Runner and there's one in Legend.
Well, it's out on 2nd of September, but this is a by the by.
There might be one in Robin Hood.
Because shooting this film was Chris Parks, who's got 16 years experience in 3D, so probably...
I've got 37 years of experience in 3D. I've been in 3 dimensions my entire life. Well, that's
probably
good.
Worth listening to. His verdict is roughly that 3D is here to stay, but not necessarily in its current guise.
Mm. With glasses, you mean?
Yeah, he said, I'm sure 3D TV will take off in the home 100%. So he is certain. Will it take off in its current form? I don't know.
Luke, you actually interviewed this guy, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I went down to the 3D shoot and spent the morning there.
And was he just a stooge for 3D, or was he quite honest about all this?
Well, obviously it was funded by Philips, so they couldn't be completely honest. But he was quite open about it.
Yeah.
He was quite open about the flaws with the glasses and how the future of it is going to revolve around it evolving past... sitting there with a pair of specs on.
But didn't he say that in its current guise, there's no way it's going to be a mainstream product?
Pretty much, yes.
The more you see pictures of people wearing specs, watching telly, you know, ridiculous 3D spec, the less it just seems viable as a kind
maybe.
Of...
Maybe. It could go either way, couldn't it? I suppose the more people get used to seeing people in specs, they might stop to feel like they look stupid. Or it could go the other way. The more they see it, it just brings home to them every time they see a photo. Oh, God, I look like that every time I'm sat at home watching EastEnders in 3D or whatever.
He did say as well, there are TV programs where there's really no benefit to seeing it in 3D. So I find it difficult to see a time when there's no 2D. Which I was thinking about that, because you could probably have said the same about colour, couldn't you?
That's what people said about... That is exactly what people said about black and white. It's also what people said about stereo.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, it's, you know... Black and white's never going to disappear because you don't need colour for everything. But of course, once you start seeing things in colour, you
apart from the FA Cup final,
everything else isn't. What?
Well, the FA Cup final, they had to...
Is that still in black and white?
They had to choose the jerseys because they weren't in colour, so they couldn't have 2 dark shirts.
Ah.
So they had to, one
snooker.
Had to be white. Yep.
Snooker, always good in black and white. Yep.
As the classic, yes. For those watching in black and white, the blues next to the red or
etc.
Oh, how we laughed.
Oh, yes, comedy. Luke Beauchamp, did you speak to him as well?
Another Luke.
3 Lukes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. How many Lukes can we get in one podcast?
Luke Skywalker?
Yeah, he said specifically...
He's called Luke.
He reckons it's specifically event-based rather than generally accepted until we get 3D without the glasses, which, again, makes sense, really. You know, it's
completely.
It's films or sport,
films
isn't it?
Films or sport.
Films, sport, big... big social events like Glastonbury.
That's in 3D. Yeah, that works well in 3D.
That could work.
But sports, they have to be shot in a completely different way because the current kind of like way we watch football on TV won't lend itself. There's no depth in that bird's eye view, so it has to be completely shot.
Yeah, when Chris watched the 3D footy, he was sort of saying it was only like the replays where they did some fancy camera work that it really, really showed
taking
itself.
A corner.
Well, I think it's interesting that Sky, when it launches in October... And hats off to Sky. I've got to admit, I was getting to the point where I was thinking, oh, they've just like dropped the ball. They're not. This isn't actually going to happen because they were so balls out about it towards the end of last year, the start of this year. We were definitely doing.
We were
it.
Getting very sceptical, weren't we?
I'm not known for my cynicism or skepticism, so that's unusual. But it's October the 1st, is it? Anyway, early October.
1st of October, they're going to have 3D coverage of the Ryder Cup from Celtic Manor.
They're launching with the Ryder Cup, and I think golf is the killer app. For 3D.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, particularly for putting, of course, because you can actually see,
the lines, the
undulation.
The weft. Is that the word? The weft of the green.
American football works very well in 3D, but no one cares about that. So,
What about tennis? From Ryder Cup behind the player cam. Tennis.
Tennis could work rather well.
Yeah, tennis and cricket.
Ping pong.
Would be good in 3D. But again, I mean, cricket's a fairly marginal
curling
activity.
Curling.
Yeah, curling.
3D curling.
Fantastic.
Pole vault. If you've got the camera on top of the bar.
That could be unnerving.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Because I like Sky was saying in the edit, it's going to be great for sport, films, also things like contemporary dance. It's like, yeah, I think most people who subscribe to Sky are really into modern contemporary dance.
They're desperate
dance.
To pretend that they're some sort of arts channel.
Definitely documentaries.
March of the Penguins.
Oh, well, yeah,
3D.
Nature. Yeah. In fact...
Because that's the only stuff that looks good in HD.
Who's the guy? Who's the legendary David Attenborough?
Yeah.
He's actually making a 3D thing. Yeah, it's like his usual him going and bothering chimps, but now in 3D.
Yeah, it's also promising a few films. Monsters vs. Aliens.
Great.
That's good. Alice in Wonderland. Rubbish. Really.
When's somebody going to make...
Don't waste your life.
Seriously, when is somebody going to make an adult film in 3D? That would
I
help
think that's
me.
Been done, hasn't it?
What, Avatar?
No, I don't mean adult. You know what I mean. You don't want to see that kind of thing coming at you.
Oh. Surely that's what you pay for. Yeah.
That would be horrible. It's bad enough in high def.
Decent
Jesus.
3D film. So,
gynecological detail. Anyway. But by adult, I mean like actually aimed at adults. And don't say Avatar, because that is not.
No.
I mean like a proper film, a proper acting plot, you know.
When is Tarantino going to do 3D?
Something like that, or Scorsese, or somebody like that, you know.
Well, the petition starts
never,
now.
Never, probably, I'd imagine. But because I just can't
can imagine Ang Lee doing something quite good.
Yeah, or a lot of I don't know, a lot of sort of action type.
Something
characters.
Martial arts.
John Woo, a sort of John Woo. Well, I know he kind of sucks now, but like when he was good, like if he made a film in 3D.
John who?
John Woo.
Good. Right. Well, there's more 3D to come, including how we get on with the Nintendo 3DS. In the meantime, though, it's time to say here is the news. Smaller, faster, cheaper. These are our watchwords. And Amazon's accomplished all three with its brand new Kindle, which you can lay your hands on at Amazon's UK store from the 27th of August.
21% smaller, with speedier page turns and 50% better contrast. The Wi-Fi model costs £109. Or you can add 3G and pay £149. And if that wasn't enough, we've also been granted a UK Kindle store with 400,000 titles, plus newspapers and magazines. Amazon's promising it'll be the cheapest around.
Nice.
Bonus. A new Mac Pro, a new iMac, and a new cinema display. Apple have been busy. The new Pro is the big release. Virtually unchanged on the outside, it gets 12... count them, 12 cores on the inside and optional solid-state drives. A solid price too, it starts at $2,000.
The iMac also sports the same look as before, but now gets Intel's new Core i3, i5 and i7 chips and those optional SSDs. We've also a new peripheral, the Apple Magic Trackpad. Think giant multi-touch trackpad for your desktop. It costs an unusually reasonable £60.
That's really not bad. And returning to the 3D theme, Panasonic's finally given official word of its 3D camcorder. Looking like a standard cam with an oversized silencer tabbed on, the HDC SDT750 trips off the tongue, sports a 3D conversion lens for your homegrown pop-out movies.
The dual lens system records right eye and left eye images at the same time in 960 by 1080 resolution. Not quite full HD, but what do we expect for $1,400? We've had a first look play with one. Check out T3.com for more.
Yeah, dude. I think that's pretty good. $1,400 for a 3D camcorder. That's what you'd be playing for an HD camcorder not so long ago.
True. Not that useful, though.
But who's got a 3D TV?
Camcorder? Yeah, I mean,
okay, admittedly, you need a 3D TV, but, you know, small matter.
It would be a lot of fun. It'd be like when you went to that shoot the other day. Like, I presume every single set, every single scene they were sort of setting up involved somebody running straight at the camera or whopping something in its direction.
The day before I'd been there, they'd been doing first-person running shoots where they'd basically got a rickshaw, turned it around, and cycled with a 3D camera on front.
Awesome.
Nice. Okay. So I had a go with that magic trackpad.
Yeah, yeah.
Yesterday. Odd.
Is it magic?
Really?
I can see how it would work, kind of like jazzing up web pages and iPhoto and saying, hey, look at me, I can pitch and zoom and twist and flick. But I think it's quite limited from what I can see so far. I can see how people would use it in conjunction.
It's meant to completely replace the mouse.
No, not at all.
Is it not?
No, it's used to work in conjunction with your keyboard and mouse.
Because that's it, I've been completely. Which is, that's what I thought, is like, obviously, like a trackpad, okay, it's fine, but it's there because you can't have a mouse with a laptop. It's a good way of getting around that problem. But you wouldn't ever choose to use a trackpad.
You can see how you would use, you know, like designers, for instance, they would use a keyboard and mouse, and they'd work both hands, like zooming.
Can you use like a pen with it or anything like that?
They didn't announce anything officially. You probably could. I'm sure.
I bet you couldn't, because that would be very un-Apple, wouldn't it? They'd be like, that's like having to use a stylus with a touchscreen. They'd be opposed to that kind of crap.
You wouldn't be able to do the multi gestures because it supports up to 4 fingers. Gestures.
So there's lots four-finger gestures.
It's the future.
I can think of a few of those.
Hey.
But it's it's one of those things you're going to have to take some time to get used to it.
Ignore me.
Duncan searched his internal database and came up with nothing.
My thing about it, though, right? Sorry, I know you want to move on, Dan, but I want to put this point across. Apple.
This has suddenly turned into news night. No. Let me finish. Let me finish.
You're always insulting me, right? The iMac, the Apple designed the iMac to reduce the footprint of a computer, and they're starting to kind of like
they found all this more room on the desk, and they're going, hold on,
exactly. There's a little space either side of the keyboard that we can use.
There's not a great deal of space above the thing, though. It was like 27 inches. Because I thought, God, that's amazing. I think I might actually get one of these. I know they had a 27 inch one before. Although there are always problems with that screen, so hopefully they fixed that in this one.
I can't physically make it fit.
I've got shelves above where I have my computer. Awesome. I don't think I could physically fit. No.
When it comes to Apple Gear, whenever I get sort of halfway tempted to press buy, I end up pricing up a PC with the same spec, and I just can't. I just can't do it.
But then,
you can get a PC that remotely resembles an iMac.
I don't care what it looks like.
Really?
Cool. Oh, really? That's the only reason I might.
Just get a nice looking monitor.
These new iMacs, honestly, they are stunning looking.
They're pretty powerful as well.
The best thing I thought about the whole thing was that they've added SSD drives to these Macs now, and that they are, it's lightning.
You
click iTunes and it just opens. Yeah. It's like an app.
That's nice.
Fantastic.
Okie dokie. Time to see what you have been tweeting to T3DOTCOM. Duncan, what do you got?
Well, what have I got? That's a good question. I've got, here we are. Xfox UK. That's clever. James Cobbett tweets on the new... I'm going to start again. Xbox UK, James Cobbett, tweets on the news Rockstar has been scoping LA and Hollywood for its next GTA. I'd rather somewhere European was done, Paris or London. I've had enough of New York and LA in games.
London, yeah, but they kind of did London.
They did
with,
a London one a while ago, didn't they?
Not ages Grand Theft ago, Auto, it was it Driver?
Yeah, there was,
or
a,
was it?
What no, was there it? Was a Grand Theft Auto set in London, yeah, yeah.
Shows what I know.
It was like an add-on pack for 3... GTA
could have been
3, maybe.
Yeah, Paris works as well. I'm liking that.
Very difficult driving around Paris.
Well, that's the whole point. So do it in Grand Theft Auto, and you can actually drive around Paris how you would really like to.
You should be able to go down the blue cycle routes in the London one. That'd be good.
And in Paris, you can just stop off for a Gauloise.
Yeah, that'd be quite nice.
No, but if you did go down the blue cycle routes in London, you'd be like on 5 police stars immediately. Really, you know.
Or run over by
a truck. The helicopter would be on the way.
As you potter along at 5 miles an hour on those kind of disabled bicycles that they've got into.
Luke, we've had a small Luke. iOS 4.0. Oh, I gave it away, which one I thought was the... Oh, no. What have I done? iOS 4.0.1 reaction galore.
Small Luke.
That's just an affectionate name we have for you.
It's like Little John. It's ironic.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm enormous. The Gleskoboff.
I didn't understand that either.
Or Alan Coleslaw. Yes, I'm having issues.
Oh, he's gone through his entire school life having that, and you just bring it up again.
Sorry, I just got insulted. I need to insult someone.
That's, I think he's from Glasgow, isn't he? Isn't it the Glasgow B of H? I don't know what B of H stands for.
Could be. Anyway, Alan.
The Glasgow B of H.
Yeah, or Alan, as he's known to his mum. Yeah.
Amen.
What does he have to say for himself?
He says, yes, I'm having issues as I currently can't seem to get it connected up to the Parrot MKI 9200 hands-free since upgrading the iPhone.
Well, unhappy the MKI 9200 is notoriously difficult, obviously, with the... you're not alone, don't worry. Stephen Nicholas, I can't connect to anyone via Bluetooth. Yeah, he's out. What's it called?
Bluejacking.
Bluejacking, there we go. Like that. Oh, that's a blast from the past. Come on, Apple, sort it out.
And Tom Hall... 112.
Yes.
Is that his age? I've had problems with the Bluetooth since updating to 4.0.1. Will not connect at all, although not suffered any signal problems.
Oh, well, there's always an upside.
So the signal stuff's being kind of put to bed at the moment, but new thing, the sense proximity thing still raging on, Bluetooth.
I haven't had that problem either.
I've
been sent some kind of lucky iPhone that doesn't suffer from any of these.
My wife's 3GS.
You got a press version.
My
wife's 3GS is
very careful that I get the one that works.
Has slow to a crawl since putting 4.0.1 on.
Yeah, everybody I know who's upgraded to 4, who hasn't got an iPhone 4, who's got an earlier one, even 3GS, because they're now saying, yeah, the 3G maybe it isn't quite powerful. Yeah, but the 3GS also is knackered by it.
It's not good. Not good at all. Bumper collection of bumper tweets. Looks like some good news for Apple for once, actually. Ash Blakeston, because we were reporting that 3 to 8 weeks to get your.
That's what they're telling people.
That's what they're telling people.
And then they turn up 2 days later.
Yeah. Just to let you know, guys, I ordered my bumper through the app on Saturday, was quoted 5 weeks, received it today. Pretty impressed. That's a classic, you know, sort of you set expectations low and then you dramatically exceed them and everyone's happy.
Some would say it's good PR.
Under-promising and over-delivering.
Exactly. That's, similar story from Tsubasa2324. Ordered my bumper a few days ago, but received an email from Apple and said my bumper had been shipped and it'll be in about 2 to 3 days. So,
good.
This is not uncommon.
That's good.
So don't fret if you've been told it's going to be.
I ordered mine and it was, 5 to 7 weeks.
And has it turned up?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's certain ones they're having trouble with. I don't know. Anyway, time for a 3D gadget of the week. Mr. Luke Johnson, you've been playing with it.
I have the Nintendo 3DS.
Oh, that too. yes.
This podcast has gone shit since Chris
really,
left.
Yeah, really.
I do apologise, Luke. It's normally really good.
In the gutter. So go on, the 3DS. Good, yes. Bad, indifferent.
Very good. There are definitely some niggles with it, like the field of view, the angle you have to view it at. You have to be directly in front of it, otherwise the 3D just turns into a blurry mass.
I was speaking to Chris about this over a few beers last night, and he said exactly the same thing. It's like if you get a bit too involved in your gaming and start, you know,
if you're looking for it as a commuter gadget and you're on a train that's bumping around, it
oh really
it
that bad?
It wouldn't work because. It'd constantly be going from in focus to it'd be like someone who wears glasses taking them off and putting them back on again repeatedly.
Okay, that's not good. And especially in sort of gameplay, that could, you know,
Could mean life or death.
Yes, absolutely.
you can just switch the 3D
Maybe, I mean, that must be why they've put that there. Because we were all like, that's great. If you don't like 3D, you know, fine, good. But
well, the other reason, apparently, Liam, the producer, was that it causes nausea as well. Or it caused him nausea looking at the 3D effect.
There is a distinct level of car sickness.
Oh, really?
I was watching at the...
Well, I suppose you would get motion sickness if it's...
In motion?
Moving. Yeah.
Isn't that going to cause confusion, though, when kind of like the youth are on the back of a bus going, that's sick, man.
Is that what the youth do, Luke?
So I'm told.
They're doing Southeast London.
I must take it up with the youth. because I'm in two minds about that, because I haven't played with it, but I thought, well, how often really is your head going to be off-center from the screen? I mean, because you hold it in front of you by definition. But also, though, the new DS has got various kind of motion sensing type controls in it.
So you are meant
to... So it seems like a slightly perverse thing to put into something that you have to hold still in front of you.
But... How long were you playing with it before you started thinking,
Well, playing the flight simulator game, there was no problem with motion
sickness. Pilot wings.
Yes, there was no problem with motion sickness at all. It was watching the Mario Kart demo, And it felt...
Oh, so hold up. So were you just watching a demo and not playing it?
You could play the flight simulator, but not the Mario Kart.
I wonder if that's a factor then, because you're controlling the...
Yeah, were you watching somebody else playing the Mario, or did you have it in your hands of you?
Had it in my hands. Oh, okay. It wasn't a playable version, unfortunately.
Maybe you don't have the same level of
if you were
being involved with it. Yeah. So you're just watching it. Maybe
Did you watch any of the 3D movies?
They didn't have any 3D movies we could take a look at, I'm afraid.
No, not even any clips or anything. That's a shame. I was hoping, because I'm really interested. And the 3D itself.
I'm a bit dubious about the 3D movie part of it. I'm actually surprised they weren't showing anything off, because I think that could be maybe a thing too.
Well, the 3D, because obviously this is a different kind of 3D from your 3D telly. You're not wearing glasses. It uses different tech. Do you get it? Does it project out of the screen or just behind the screen? How does it? What's it look like?
It seems to do both. There was a game we could play where you're training a puppy, and you could throw the ball for the puppy, and the ball you could see the ball disappearing off into the distance, like it was in 3 dimensions.
Uh-huh.
And then the puppy would bring it back, and it'd jump up at the screen.
And it was popping out of the screen.
Yeah.
See, that's quite impressive.
Terrifying. Be like that film Cujo.
I'm really intrigued to see how this works. I know it was a kind of a lock-in at Nintendo.
Everyone I know who's seen
all
two of the people I know who have seen it have been really impressed with the 3D effects and with the thing in general.
They were quite precious though, weren't they? You couldn't film the screen.
Yeah, not turned on.
Yeah.
You couldn't film it turned on, you couldn't take pictures turned on, you couldn't move it about a foot away from the PR people because it was all locked down to the desks.
Okay. Well, there is there's more on this on t3.com. Chris has put together a video without actually any footage.
That's not surprising, though, because
kind of talking about it, but
you won't get the 3D effects on the video of it.
It's fair enough, but still,
it is precious.
Have a look on tier.com. We're expecting it around March next year.
Rumored for March next year.
Okay, so it's still a long way off, really, isn't it?
Yeah,
but yeah, if they've got working prototypes, that's good. I guess they've got to develop the games now. Well, there we are. Thanks.
Well, it's a mouth-watering lineup of launch titles.
It is.
I've always wanted to say that, so I just slipped that in. It's a mouth-watering lineup of launch titles. I could go into PR, I think.
I think you should. Finally, T3 has been compiling the 101 gadgets you can't live without, I think, is actually what we've done. Being cheapskates, we've condensed the list down to one each. Incidentally, how was this put together?
How was it put together? The usual way. Rob went and compiled a list, and we looked at it and said, oh, could you change that and that?
And then
he wrote it all up. Okay. The whole point of it is... Now, here's an interesting thing, because we've done this feature for a number of years, and I don't really know how we got away with it, because in the past, it's basically been... Mm. You know we do the Hot 100? Mm-hmm. Well, it's basically been that again, but about 3 months later, between you
tweaked.
And me. But now, what this is what it really is basically 101 gadgets... that are completely new, and that are also... They're not all, like, gadgety gadgets, if you know what I mean. It's not, you know, iPod, iPhone, speaker. There's a real kind of mixture of new stuff from all around the world.
Okay.
And you didn't know you couldn't live with them until...
The one I've picked is very much along those lines. Go on then, Dunk. The gadget you can't actually breathe without... would be
this Aqualung. I've got two. One is the Crossley Revolution. That's a portable turntable record playing turntable that you carry around. I'll just let that idea hang in the air for a second while people think about that.
It's limited,
but pretty clever, and it's a neat looking thing.
If you're into a record shop and then you want to, if you still go to record shops and you want to check out some old dusty.
Yeah,
dusty 45s.
Yeah,
buy the magazine and see what it looks like, and then come back and tell me whether you think that could work.
You've selflessly chosen two, did you say?
Yeah, the other one is the Bang & Olufsen. They've made this standalone subwoofer.
Okay,
and I'm sure it's very clever and no doubt sounds excellent. But I have to say, it does appear to slightly resemble a lady's part. I can't really think of any other way of putting it. I'm sure it puts out a lot of bottom end.
Yeah.
Maybe, hopefully not too much flange. And
Is that a tweeter at the top?
No, it's just pleased to see you. It's in their promotional material, they say, it's modelled after a tulip.
Right.
But I don't know that it's modelled after a tulip, personally. No. But,
yeah. Something's taken its flower.
as Luke said earlier, it looks good behind curtains.
Yes.
Luke, your slightly more tasteful Desert Island Disc gadget.
I'm going to go with, and I've genuinely been using this quite a lot, the Korg Electribe iPad app.
Oh, that's
and of course, you need an iPad for this to work, but it's essentially a chord sequencer. that costs about $4.99.
Yeah.
Endless analog synth fun. You could just spend hours just making.
They're
going to
stick that on the box from now on, aren't they?
I think they already have.
Luke Peters.
And it's got a little valve, digital valve thing at the top, which is kind of a paradox, I suppose. But you can turn up the valve amp to get more warmth in your synths.
More dirtiness.
Dirtiness.
You want your synths to be dirty.
It's cool. If you like music, if you like electronic music, if you like programming, it's worth five. It's worth the price of a pint.
Well, I'll tell you
London.
Something. Okay. I actually used to have one of those when I used to kind of tinker around with musical boxes. Because basically what it is like a software version of a thing Korg used to make. And it wasn't expensive, but it was, I think, £200.
Hmm.
And now, I mean, okay, you do have to have an iPad as well. But the thing, it makes all the same noises, has all the same knobs, does all the same stuff as this box did, and it costs you a fiver.
Magic. Other Luke, have you managed to pluck anything from
I
these
have, yeah.
Illustrious pages?
Sony NEX5 Micro Four.
An excellent choice, sir. An excellent choice. We played with one of those not so long ago on the podcast.
It's nice.
That's still
nice.
One of my favourite things I've seen this year. I mean, I still don't understand
it's really nice.
Why anyone would want it, if you know what I mean, because it's so... But it's so beautifully made.
I'm still wedded to my Sony Alphas, the full fat versions. But
that's
very
the
nice
thing, because that's what I think is like. Yeah, it's brilliantly compact, but you do then put a great lens on
which
it,
which you have to carry with you.
Yeah,
and then put on every time. Just
yeah.
But Sony have come out with a couple of things recently. They've come out with this, and I don't know if you've seen it in the news, but we've got it featured in the next issue. Actually, is their new
the camcorder.
Camcorder with removable parts.
Yeah, removable lens, which of course you know.
The same ones as these
broadcast cameras. You can change the lenses. So same with the camcorder, they've got specific camcorder lenses for it, or it'll take any Sony Alpha and before that Minolta lenses.
It'll take
those ones as well. So I mean, just enormous numbers of lenses. You can get really creative. I was speaking to a mate of mine who works in the music industry, and he's saying now all the kids are filming their music videos on Nikon DSLRs because you can get amazing optics HD. For a fraction of what it used to cost, and you get some really wicked effects, you know, with the lenses, really top quality. So
there are pro journalists who use them for overseas, outside broadcast type things.
Yeah.
The quality is really amazing for what it costs.
They were using those cameras at the 3D film shoot to make the making of.
There you go. Yeah. Basically, if you want a great, a reasonably low budget, but, you know, high, professional looking thing, that's what people are using. So there you go.
What have you gone for, Dan?
I am going for a gadget I didn't know existed till I read this.
well, that's the beauty
that's the
of this
point.
Article.
Exactly. I didn't even know I couldn't live without it. It's the Leica Pinmaster, which is a golf rangefinder. Which, given I don't actually play golf, is perhaps, you might say, a little ridiculous. But I figure if I carried this around, I have to guess this is the best ever looking golf rangefinder, bar none, because it's just so desirable looking.
Yeah.
And I felt if I carried this around, it's £469, everyone would assume that every other gadget I own, you know, I must have a house festooned with Bang & Olufsen and, you know, things like this. So all I would need to do is carry that, and people would think, oh, yes, there goes a man who knows
surely
his quality gadgets.
Surely you must have to be a shithot golfer as well to pull that off.
No.
If you just carry it around in public, people would assume
I just have it in my pocket.
Are...
And then people might go, oh, what's that? And I could say, oh, that's my...
It's my rangefinder.
It's my Leica.
Again, people would assume I was a shit-hot golfer without ever having me seen...
It's my Leica Pinmaster. That's great. So what have you gone round in, 403?
They might think you're...
My Pinmaster was off.
I think the last time I played golf, we gave up at about 36 over par each and decided we'd just go to the bar.
But that's why you have a handicap, isn't it?
Yes. My handicap is not being able to play golf.
Hey. I was going to say, people might assume you're a peeping Tom and sex pest. That's the only thing I would
it does have
say
that,
as a
that,
note of
that
caution
air about it.
On
but
that one.
At least...
But a very high-class sex pest.
Yeah, very high-class. Well, anyway, that is it for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves. And, oh, Mr. Peters has his hand up. Do you need to go to the toilet?
No. Awards.
Oh, we should.
The shortlist has been opened. It's ready for voting.
Yeah, we did. We mentioned this last week. Don't worry. But
we're going to mention it again.
Do you know how many votes
we've had so far?
Yeah.
In the whole thing. We had 250,000 at long list, and we've had 200,000.
So it's almost doubled already.
In the shortlist so far. So we're almost half a mil.
Was it last week about we should hit 500,000?
Yeah.
Sounds like
you can win
well on
a HTC, limited edition HTC Desire in black.
Mm-hmm.
And an iPhone 4, I believe.
Black Desire.
Yes.
Got a film called that.
So go vote.
Okay, so it's awards.t3.com. Go and cast your vote. We are down to the final few in each category now, so it's time to start picking winners, folks. And remember, you can tweet us at T3DOTCOM. We're also on iTunes every Friday. Till next week then, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.